Matthew chapter number 2, Matthew chapter number 2 this morning, Matthew chapter 2. I said it Thursday night, I said that, man, Christmas is almost upon us, and hopefully you've gotten all your shopping done. Is everybody done shopping? Everyone's finished? Everyone's taken care of? I asked Brother Eric Lapatowski on Thursday, I said, what are you getting me, Eric? And he goes, It's too big. It can't fit in your trunk. And I said, okay. And somebody told me they were gonna give Clyde the camel. Clyde, right? Is that Clyde? Clyde the camel that they used during the yeah. So I figured, man, it's a good present. Good presents gonna be getting there for Christmas. But amen. Hope you're ready for Christmas. Like I said before, I enjoy the Christmas season. I was blessed to be raised in a home where Christmas was centered around Christ, and was able to spend time with family and grandparents, and I enjoy the Christmas season. It's a great opportunity to talk about the Lord. And without Christ, I guess Christmas would kind of be a drag. It would be a little lonely without Christ. And I'm thankful that we have the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason to celebrate and the reason to to the greatest gift that was ever given was Jesus Christ and a gift from God. Thankful for that. Matthew chapter number 2, we're going to read down here through verse number 12. So let's go ahead and start in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he said unto them, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's go ahead and pray this morning and ask the Lord's blessing on the message. Lord, thank you so much for being good to us. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for this season, this time of Christmas. Thank you that it's a time when we can celebrate the birth of Christ, and Lord, we can do all that's within our power to point others in the direction of Christ and use this time to say Merry Christmas, use this time to remind people that the reason for all the hustle and the bustle and the gifts and the busyness was all once started because of the quietness and the stillness of your Son, Jesus Christ, being born and laid in a manger. Thank you, Lord, the lessons you give us in your word and that we can apply to our lives. Thank you again for your perfect word, and thank you for the scriptures. Lord, I pray that you would increase and that I would decrease in the sight of your people, that you'd be lifted up and magnified and put first in the hearts of all hearers and listeners this morning. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter number 2, we had read a portion of this scripture last week, and we had talked about the burden of a baby. That was the title of last week's message. And we talked about the chief priest and the scribes and Herod. And then we went over to Luke and we looked at those associated with the inn, where the Bible says there is no room for them at the inn. And no one made any special provision or anything for Christ. It was just an inconvenience. And We talked about the burden of a baby, but today we're going to use the same passage here in Matthew chapter number 2, and we're going to look at a different group of people who the birth of Jesus Christ and what it meant to them and the place that he had that they had put Christ in their lives and the effort put forth was Jesus Christ was not a burden at all. In fact, Jesus Christ was to be worshipped, and Jesus Christ was to be lifted up, and he was to be magnified. And we are going to look at the story of the wise men this morning. Now, before we get into it, we just need to doctrinally establish some things and have a clear understanding that when we read the scriptures, we understand that Herod asks the wise men, when did you see this star appear? When did you know that there was a king of the Jews that was born? And they gave him a time frame of when they saw the star appear. And every time that we see here that the wise men are going to see Jesus, they're going to see a young child. They're not going to see a baby. They're going to see a young child. And so although the neighborhood nativity scene might have the wise men and the shepherds and the manger, and they might have everything together, there was a time difference here. So we can see that Mary was and Jesus, they were in a house in verse number 11. They weren't at a manger. They were in the house, and we see it referenced again and again. It was the young child, the young child. Now, the King James Bible says young child. Other versions just say the child, so you could assume it to be a baby if you wanted to. But the King James Bible clarifies it very clearly and says that it was a young child. And so I'm not here to get on to anybody. I'm just setting the time frame and establishing what was going on here. Jesus Christ was born, as we know in Luke, and he was placed in a manger. And all of the story of the birth and all of the story of what was going on at that time. But some time has passed here. Maybe even up to 2 years has passed since Jesus was born. And yet there is this group of wise men, and they said, we have seen a star, and we know who this star stands for, and we want to go find this child who is born King of the Jews. And we're going to go and find them, and they're going to look for him. Now, unfortunately, not many are looking for a Savior at the time of Christmas. Unfortunately, there are some Christians that aren't looking for Christ to be the centerpiece. It's all about the gifts. It's all about having to get this. It's about the obligations. It's about what am I going to get? It's about having to be here and be there and what's going to be made and what's going to be cooked and all the things that come along with Christmas time. But we should certainly be able to, at least in our minds, be able to prioritize and set some things aside and say, boy, this season here of Christmas is about Jesus Christ. And we should take at least some time. We should at least let our children know that this isn't all about what you can get and how much you can gather and all the stuff that you really wanted as opposed to the things that you got and all the stuff that you just put on your Christmas list last week and were like, too late. You can't just add things to your Christmas list last minute. What do we look like, Santa Claus? I can't pull this off. All of that kind of stuff, we should be able to at least pause and the center of our focus should at least be on Christ at this time of the year. The world's not looking for a Savior. They're looking to cut him out. They're looking to give us an Xmas instead of a Christmas. They're looking to replace the Lord Jesus Christ with Santa Claus. That's what the world does with religion. If you could just give us a God that just always puts us on the nice list. And every time I have a need of something, I can just go to the God in the sky and I can just cry out unto him and he would give it to me because I deserve it. I mean, after all, I haven't been that bad this year. That's what the world's turned the God of the Bible into. He's turned him into Santa Claus. But he's not a Santa Claus. He's the God, the creator of the universe. He's holy, and he should be reverenced. And we should take this time and say, man, and just be thankful about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the wise men here, we're going to look at 4 points this morning. 4 points about the wise men. And we're going to look at why the wise men were wise. why the wise men were wise. Number one, let's go ahead and read verse number two, Matthew chapter number two, verse number two. The wise men come from the east and they say, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." We have seen his star in the east. I'd like to say, first of all, why the wise men were wise was because they had their affection on things above. They had their affection on things above. They said, "We have seen his star." They were looking up to the sky and they said, "We have seen the star. God has made it clear. We have seen the star. It is Christ's star. This is not just a normal star. We have seen it." They weren't looking for the headlines. They weren't looking at the headlines of the day to find Jesus Christ. They weren't looking at the glamour of the world's false light to place their hope. They were looking up towards the heavens and they saw a star and they said, "That is the star of a king. That is the star of a Christ. That is the star of a Messiah. And we want to follow that. So we're going to put our hope in what that star represents." And their eyes were lifted upward. Boy, we have a hard time with that in this world, don't we? So many things going on. There's so much noise. There's so many distractions that we just have a tendency to get our eyes off the Lord and get our eyes down here. Get our eyes on the things that are going on in our lives and get our eyes on the stuff that doesn't matter in this world instead of what really matters, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when Peter got out of the boat? Now, I know Peter gets a bad rap. I understand. Peter has said some things and he does some things in his life that we shake our heads when you're reading the scriptures and you're like, "Oh man, I wish he wouldn't have done that." I mean, don't you ever kind of get yourself involved in the story and you know what's coming and you're reading the Bible and you're saying, "Oh, I wish it didn't go this way. Oh, I wish it could just go a different way." It's like you're watching a TV show or something and you can see it coming a mile away. You know the main character is about to do something real stupid. And I just go, "Oh, I don't want to watch it. Oh, I can't see it. I don't want to see what's going on. Why would you do this?" And you know what's coming. And Peter gets a lot of negative press, but Peter was the only one that got out of the boat on that day. Remember when they're rowing and they're going in the sea and is going along and they see what they think is a spirit and they know it to be Christ and they see it Christ and he says, "If that's you, Lord, let me come out. Bid me to come to you." Because what was Jesus doing? He was walking on the water. Well, that was fancy. And they're like, "Wow, look at this." And he says, "Bid me to come to you if you're Christ." He says, "Come on." And so what's Peter do? Well, probably not what you and I would do. He hops out of the boat. Right? He says, "I'm coming to you, Christ." He hops out of the boat and he puts that foot down and it's not what he thought it was. He puts that foot down on the water, and that water that he'd been fishing in and that he'd spent his life on, you know what he found out? He found out that water was able to hold his weight. And he says, "Whoa." And he takes those few steps towards Christ and he says, "This is awesome." And then he gets out there probably far enough away from the boat where he couldn't reach it anymore. And not close enough to Christ, he couldn't reach Christ anymore. And, you know, I almost picture it to be like, do you ever notice the cartoon characters? They can run on air until they notice that they're not on land. You ever notice that? You know, the Roadrunner, he could just span the whole gap. The Roadrunner could just meep, meep, and whoa, the whole way, right through the air, right on the other side. And the coyote, he could do the same thing until he couldn't. Right? Coyote would just be running along halfway through all of a sudden. And he'd pull some kind of sign out of his pocket, you know? Those of you that are old enough, or those of you that had parents that still blessed you with being able to watch the Roadrunner and the Wile E. Coyote, there's an amen goes right there. Okay? That's when cartoons were cartoons. My goodness, the stuff that's on there now, I don't even know what's on there now, but the stuff that's on there now, I guarantee you it's no good. It's no good. What was I saying? Peter, got it. He's out of the boat. I'm with this. Give me a second. What was that verse I was going to sing? All right. He helped me out, right? He helped me out this morning. So I wasn't up here standing alone going, Hold on. So there's Peter. He's out of the boat. He's probably far enough away from the boat he can't reach it. He's not close enough to Christ to grab a hold of him. And you know what Peter starts to do? The Bible says that he starts looking around at the wind. Starts looking around at the wind, and he sees the water and the rain and the waves, and he sees all these things. And you know what he starts? He gets his eyes off Christ, and he gets his eyes on all the other things in this world. And I'll tell you what. You get your eyes on the things of this world, that's depressing.
Amen.
I mean, the way this world's headed. I have kids growing up in this world. I have kids that are going to grow up and, Lord willing, get married and maybe have kids and try to live for God. And guess what? It's going to be in this world, and this world is getting crazier by the second. Crazier by the second. When I say that, I literally mean not right in the head, full of the devil crazy. Just in case there was anything that wasn't clear about that. Full of the devil nuts. Anything goes that anything goes, anything goes. We're long past the point of being proud of our sin. We're now glorifying and magnifying and pushing it on everybody else. This world's wicked. And you think, how are we ever going to do it? And everything's going up in cost, except what we make. All this kind of stuff's happening. We look around and we say, how are we going to do it? How are we going to put the pieces together? How are we going to make this work? And the car is not getting better, it's getting worse. And the house isn't fixing itself, we have to fix it. And if things happen and if things go on and if things go on, and we look around at this world, if we get our eyes on this world and we just look at all the stuff of this world, man, you'll get upset. You'll get discouraged. You'll say, what am I doing all this for? What are we running this rat race for? And let me tell you, there's millions of people asking that question this morning. Without Jesus Christ, without a firm foundation, without a chance to look up and see the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, they're looking at this world and they're saying, what am I doing this for? And young people and teenagers and young adults and adults are taking their lives because they don't see any hope. They see nothing in this world. And boy, we have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, even though we have to live in this world and we have to work in this world and we have to fix the car and we have to fix the house and we have to take care of the stuff and we have to do all the stuff that we have to do, boy, we can keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and we can have our affections set on things above and we can say, thank God. If you're saved, the Lord's coming back to get us.
Amen.
And even so, come Lord Jesus. Come and get us right now. Come and get us so we can be with you. There's nothing in this life I'd rather do than see the Lord come back right now. And if He doesn't, I want to be faithful until He does come back. And if He doesn't come back in my lifetime, I want to be faithful until I take my last breath. So I can stand before Him and say, I did my best, Lord. I did my best. It's better than looking around at this world and getting caught up in the things of this world and getting caught up in the mess of this world. Because boy, there's a whole bunch of entanglements. There's a whole bunch of entanglements. There's a whole bunch of shiny things out there that get our attention. And, ooh, I'm going to go over here. And, ooh, I'm going to go after this. I'm going to chase after this thing. I'm going to chase after that thing. Instead of having our affection on things above. Their eyes, not only were they above, but we can see here because of the fact that they said, we have seen His star in the east. We know that they had their eyes in the Scriptures. They had their eyes in the Scriptures. Keep your finger in Matthew chapter number 2. Look in Numbers chapter 24. Numbers chapter 24. These wise men coming from the east. They knew that the prophets of Israel and the writers of the Bible and Moses and those, they weren't just some people writing stuff down. They knew that David wasn't just some king that wrote down some songs. They knew that there was something to it. They knew who God was, capital G, O-D. They knew who God was, And when they studied the scriptures of the Hebrews, they knew that it meant something. They're smarter than a lot of Christians today. Numbers chapter 24, verse number 17. Numbers 24, 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. These wise men, they knew the scriptures. Why? They saw that star and they say, hey, remember those Hebrew prophets? They wrote that there was a star that was going to come out of Israel. And out of that star was going to rise a king. Out of that star was going to have that was going to be a scepter. And he was going to be there. Look in Isaiah chapter number 49. Isaiah 49, we're not going to get too bogged down in this, but Isaiah chapter number 49, look in verse number 5. Isaiah 49, verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. If those wise men knew the prophet Isaiah and read him, they said, hey, this star that's going to be born in Israel, this one that's going to bring a scepter and be a king, he's going to be a light unto the Gentiles. And he's going to be a king unto the Gentiles. We should go check this out. We should go check this out. Why? Their affection was on things above. They looked up for Christ at his first coming, and they saw a star. And as Christians, we are to look up for Christ at the rapture. Amen. Because he is coming again. Amen. And we should look up, whence cometh my hope? Cometh from the hills. Here comes the Lord. He's going to come. He's going to come someday. Amen. Because of his word, we can look up and our hope can rest in Christ. Our affection should be on things above. Not that much unlike the wise men. Their affection was the things above. Allow this season of Christmas to remind you of things above. Not on all the stuff here, but on things above. Why were the wise men wise? Why were the wise men wise? I'd like to say this, number two, they acted upon the light that was given to them. Say, what's that light? Well, it's the star. For we have seen his star in the east. We have seen it. Look in verse number 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Boy, that's some kind of star, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some kind of star. We won't run the references, but this Bible is just so full of things. That star is most likely an angel. You can see stars and angels have a very strong connection in the scriptures. And this one, it came and it stood over where the young child was. Well, I don't know about you, but when I was over in New York, you know what I was doing? I was looking up into the sky and I was seeing the same stars that you're seeing over here in Washington. I know this much. I couldn't differentiate where one was standing from the other. Now, I don't know a whole lot about stars. You know, I look up in the sky and what's that? No, those are stars. Oh, do you know about this constellation? Nope. Someone needs to draw the lines in between the dots for me in order to be able to see what's going on. I mean, if it's facing the right way, I can look at it and go, hey, there's the Big Dipper. Other than that, I'm out. I don't know any of them. Is that a star or a planet? I don't know. It's pretty bright. It's whatever God made. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But this star came and it stood in the place where the young child was. And when they saw that star and when God revealed that unto them and the light of God was shown, you know what they said? They said, we're going to follow it. We're going after that star. And wherever that star came and stood, boy, they saw it and they rejoiced over it. And what did they do? They followed the light that God had given them.
Amen.
They followed that light. God had given them light and they followed the light. You ever think about the wise men? What were they doing when they decided to leave and follow the star? What were they doing? I mean, I don't have an answer. It's kind of a rhetorical question, but what do you think they had going on in their lives? And they're just sitting around? Well, we don't have anything to do. Hey, there's a star. You know what would be cool? Let's follow that. I'm making the wise men out to be hippies for some reason. I don't know why. If you didn't know, that was my hippie voice. Next time you'll know. I wonder what they were doing. I wonder what was going on in their lives. And they said, hey, you see that? Is that just me or do you see that? Do you see that star? That's just not a normal star. I looked up here a bunch of times. That star is different. That star looks like it's leading us somewhere. We think that star, that's from God. You know what we're going to do? We're going to follow that star. Hey, remember the Jewish Old Testament? You remember when they wrote down about that star? There was going to be a star and it was going to bring a scepter. You remember that? We think this is of God. We want to go see what's going on here. God's showing us something. They followed and they obeyed the light that the Lord had given them.
Amen.
You know, the Lord gives you light to follow in this life.
Amen.
He certainly does. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Amen.
He gives you his word, whether it's the preached word, whether it's the written word of God. He gives you his word to do what? To give you light, to open up your eyes so that you can see what the Lord has for you. He doesn't give you all the light at one time. That'd be too much light. He doesn't give you all the light. What good would it do if you went into the woods and you turned the flashlight on and it just gave you this huge, powerful burst of light? And then it went out on you. What good would that do? Well, you go, okay, what did I just see? Forget it. I'm not going in the woods. Right? What good would all the light do? You get in the car tonight. You start the car up. The headlights just give you this huge, bright, shining glow as the sun. And then they're out. No more headlights. You know what you'd do? Well, if you're wise, you wouldn't get on the road drive. You wouldn't do that. Why? Because you couldn't see.
Yeah.
Well, I think I know where I'm going. But you better not. I think I know where to go. I saw it before, so I think I know where I'm going. No, you better not. Not in this life. The Lord gives you some light. Not all at one time, but He gives you light. How much? For every step.
Amen.
Every step that you need, every step that He wants you to take in your life, He gives you light. I wonder how many others could have followed the star if they were looking up. I wonder how many others could have followed the star if they had their affection on things above and then when they saw the light that was given to them, if they followed it. I wonder how many could have been there. I don't know, but these wise men were. We don't know how many wise men there were. We know there were three gifts, but there were some, and boy, they got the blessing, didn't they?
Amen.
They got the blessing. But what did they do? Well, they acted upon the light that was given unto them. Are you doing that this morning? Are you acting upon the light that was given to you? We've been doing some different studies on Sunday nights and on Thursdays. And every once in a while, someone will come to me and say, boy, I never really thought of it that way. Wonder what I should do about this. You know what that is? That's a good question. That's a good question. When the Lord gives you light, when the Lord gives you new light, you know what you should do? I wonder what the Lord wants me to do about this new light that I have. I wonder what the Lord wants me to do with this light that He's given me in my life and how I should follow it and what I should do with it. That's a good question. Are you following the light the Lord's given you? I mean, I'm not the smartest. I'm not the brightest. But I know the Holy Spirit of God, because He's faithful, has given you some kind of light to follow, has given you something to say, hey, this is the path I want you to be on. This is the path I want you to go down. But what are you doing with that light? What are you doing with it? There's light that's given. These wise men were wise because they acted upon the light that was given unto them. Number three, why were the wise men wise? I like to say this, that they gave Christ His proper place. King. They gave Christ His proper place. We can see that in verse number 2. What'd they say to Herod? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is he? They were asking Herod, the king, where the King of the Jews was, so that they could go and worship that king, not the king right in front of them. No wonder Herod was kind of like, hey, what about me? Excuse me, Herod, I'm thankful that you took the time that you could meet us here. It's just us, and we have some stuff with this. And, you know, at least all the pictures in the future are going to show us riding camels. So our camels are in the back, and they're loaded down with stuff. But we're in here just to ask you a question. Since you're the king, we figure you know everything. Where is the other king? Where is the King of the Jews? And Herod's like, me. I'm literally the Roman king of the Jews. No, no, no. Where is the King of the Jews, the one that was born? That king. Where is the King of the Jews? Well, why are you so worried about him? Well, we've come to worship him. Appreciate it. Off they go. Yeah, that would have been a little weird. You know, I wonder sometimes how what we do in this life. Don't you find, boy, that the things that this world puts up idols for you to worship? And then they expect you to worship them. Until they tear them down and then put up new ones. But they put up all these gods and they put up all these idols. It could be in politics. It could be in entertainment. It could be in sports. It could be in business. It could be in finance. They prop somebody up and they say, look what they've done. Worship them. You should want to be like them. You should want to reverence them. And we should be like the wise men. Yeah, no thanks. I'm going to go worship the king. I'm going to go worship the king, the one that was appointed by God. I'm going to go worship him. All these idols, all these things that are going on. The wise men said, hey, Herod, where's the King of the Jews? Where is he born? We're going to go and worship him. We're going to go reverence him. Christ should have the proper place this season and every season. What's that place? First. Amen. King. Supreme. The Bible says in the most famous verse in the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Well, who is that world? Well, that's you and I. We're part of it. We're part of that world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave us His Son. When His Son came down and was born of a virgin and laid in a manger, He gave that gift to us. And boy, what a precious gift. What a precious gift. He gave us that gift so that 33 and a half years later, as a grown man that fought off every temptation and sin that came his way, he could hang on the cross and die a death that he didn't deserve to die. So that you could have everlasting life that you didn't deserve. He paid a death that you should have had, so that you could have life that he should have had. And now, because he resurrected from the grave, does have everlasting life. The reality is, he deserves to be first. And if he's anything other than first, it's blasphemous. It's adulterous, we can see in the Scriptures. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. First means just that, first. And The wise men come and they say, Herod, king, where is the king of the Jews? Where is he? Why, we want to go and we want to give him reverence. We've come quite a ways. We've stopped what we were doing. We've quit what was going on in our lives. We've changed some things since we saw the light, since we saw the light of God. Since we set our affection on things above, we see some things differently now. And we've come because we want to see the king. Who is that? The one that's in first place. The one that's worth serving. Amen. To go along with that, the fourth reason why the wise men were wise is just because of that. They were going to worship him. Amen. They were going to worship him. That's what they said. They said, we've seen his star in the east in verse number 2 and are come to worship him. Look in verse number 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Amen. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. We could run the references of gold representing his kingship and frankincense representing his priesthood and the myrrh representing the office of a priest. But it was all there. God had already had it all worked out. He knew exactly who Jesus Christ was and who he was going to be. He was going to be king, priest, and prophet. He was going to be savior of the world. And the wise men said, we came not to just tip our hats, but we came to worship. And they come into the place where Jesus was and Mary his mother. And there's a little 2-year-old boy running around, playing with stuff, not understanding anything about what the worship was, not understanding anything. And here come these wise men from the east who had just been in the presence of Herod, and they come in and they worship. And they probably bow down with reverence and they worship this little boy. Why? Because the Lord had showed them who he was and what he should mean, and what the worship that he deserves. They wanted to worship him. They gave gifts of value. They rejoiced with the opportunity. We found him. They rejoiced, and so they had the opportunity to worship him. They were humble. The Bible says they fell down before him. They humbled themselves before a child. Why? Because this was no ordinary child. This was Christ, the God-man. All man and all God. Man wasn't made to worship himself. That's why there's no fulfillment in it. There's no fulfillment in worshiping man, and there's no fulfillment in getting worship from man. Man knows who they are. They might not know the scriptures, but they know that man at his best state is altogether vanity. We worship men, and men worship us, and no, we're made to worship God. There's a void inside of every human being that God places there that only he himself can fill. And when he gets saved, and when you start to give him his rightful place and put your affection on things above and keep your eyes on the Lord and worship him with your life, there's a void that's filled with giving glory to God. And without it, chasing all the stuff in this world and going after all the stuff in this world and worshiping any old God, an idol that man tells you to worship and chase after, it just feeds the hunger inside, because man was created to walk with God. Amen. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood shed on Calvary, we can have communion with him, and we can worship him, and we can put him in his rightful place. What a joy it is to worship the Savior. Amen. The Creator, the King of Kings, the All in All. What a time when we can be by ourselves, or we can be in a crowd singing a song, and we can just lift up our voices and lift up our hearts, and we can worship the Lord and give him praise and honor and glory for who He is. It's good to do, and you should do it more. I should do it more. Those times alone when it's quiet, we should just say, Lord, I just want to worship You. I just want to thank You. I just want to praise You for being who You are. I just want to give You adoration. And if we're in a place where we can do it, we can humble ourselves and we can get down on our knees and get down on our faces before God and say, Lord, I'm not even worthy to look up in Your direction. Lord, I want my heart to be up. I want my eyes to be faced towards You. But Lord, I want to just humble myself before You, and I just want to worship You for being the God that You are, for saving our souls. Well, you can worship God for saving your soul, can't you? You can give Him some praise and some thanks for saving your soul. And then after that, all that He's done for you in this life, say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. All right, pause. You're going through something. But what has He brought you through? And what has He given you? And how many people have it worse off than you? What can we do? We can stop bellyaching for a moment and be with the wise men and say, I want to just worship You, Lord. What problems did the wise men have? I don't know, but they were living in this life just like you and me. I don't know what was going on with them, but they said, forget all that. We're going to leave what we were doing. We're going to quit what we thought was important. We're going to change some priorities in our life, and we're going to go find Christ, and when we find Him, we're going to worship Him. Amen. Boy, we could learn from the wise men this morning. We could certainly learn from the wise men. We could say, what do I have between me and the King? Where are my affections? Oh boy, to be able to rejoice with the wise men, because they rejoiced. There's nothing like praising the Lord and giving Him glory and worshiping Him. There's nothing like praising God to make a bad day much better. Well, how does that work? It doesn't fix my problems. No, but you can still praise the Lord. And then guess what? Your attitude can be better during your problems. We all have problems. Boy, I'd rather praise the Lord during those problems than just think about, oh man, this is so bad for me. How am I going to make it? Give God the glory. Keep your affection on things above. And boy, the problems of this world and the trials of this world, they seem to fade a little bit. We can't just float off into the skies and forget about Him. Not unless He comes and gets us.
Right. Amen.
A boy giving God the glory and the praise that He deserves, that sure makes things better.
Amen.
It sure makes things better. Their worship and their giving of gifts, you know what it did? It provided, literally, for the movement of Mary and Joseph and Christ to go to Egypt. Because after the wise men skip town on Herod. Herod says, I don't want some other king. And he goes and kills all the children, two and under, in Bethlehem.
Yep.
What happens? The wise men come and they give their gifts. You know, that physically allowed them to go to Egypt and get away from Herod. Provided for them. What was it from? It was from their worship. It was from their giving. Your worship and your giving, you know what it can do? It can lead to a movement of God.
Amen.
In your life and in those around you. In doing what? In worshiping the Lord. In worshiping the Lord and giving Him what's due Him. That God can move in your life.
Amen.
And can move in those around you. Say how? Well, if we're wise like the wise men. If we're wise like the wise men. What would be a better thing to be a part of this time of year or any time of year than worshiping the Lord?
Amen.
Than saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power.
Amen.
Thou art worthy. The glory that we can give unto Him, the honor that we can give unto Him, with all of our power and all of our strength to give Him glory and honor and praise. What a thing to be a part of.
Amen.
well, I didn't get this, and I don't think I bought the right gift, and the mashed potatoes weren't done exactly how I wanted them to be, and so-and-so couldn't be here for Christmas at the family get-together, and I wish it was the way it was before, but it's not that same way anymore. What is that? That's just weight. That's just burden. Boy, this time of year, say, you know what I want to do? I want to have Christ first. And if I'm worshiping Christ, mashed potatoes will be okay. If we put Christ first, it might not be the same as other Christmases, but man, there might be a special blessing in this Christmas when Christ is first. All the gifts and the stuff, I'm just going to throw it on the pile of all the other gifts and the stuff eventually. Wow, this is great. Yeah. What's next? Whoa! Yeah. Where's the next present? Christ. What made the wise men wise? No, they had their affections above. That's a good thing. They acted on the light that was given to them. They followed the light that God had given them, and they said, we're going to follow this, and it led them right to Christ. They gave him proper place. Where? As king. King. First. And what did they do? They worshiped the Lord. They worshiped the Lord. They said, we're going to rejoice in this opportunity. We're going to sacrifice for this opportunity. We're going to uproot our lives for this opportunity to come and to worship before him who is King of the Jews. You and I would do well to take some of the lessons from the wise men and implement those in our own lives and say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Lord, I want to personally thank you for being such a good God and a good King to me. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for this time of year that we can stop and think of Christmas and the birth of Jesus Christ. Lord, I enjoy giving gifts. I enjoy getting gifts. But that's not the main focus of the season. Lord, I enjoy being with family and I enjoy spending time and just relaxing a little bit. Lord, I enjoy eating good food. I enjoy the spirit of Christmas and those that you meet out and about that just tend to have a little bit more of a smile on their face and they tend to be a little bit more cheerful. But Lord, what a blessing it is to know you as Savior. What a blessing it is to have you as King. What a blessing it is to have our affection on things above and not get caught up in all the things of this world. Lord, I pray that you would bless us in this time of year. Lord, that you would allow us to keep our hearts and our minds stayed on you. Lord, that when Christmas is over, Lord, many months after, that you would still be the focal point of our lives. Lord, you're so worthy of it. You so deserve it. You so deserve to be first in everything that we do. Lord, thank you for your blessings.